Good morning, everyone. Thanks for coming today. It's good to have you all here. It's good to have those of you who are joining us online. My name is Steve. I'm one of the pastors here at the Rio. And I want to be careful with what precedent we set during the announcements, just to make it really clear that not everybody gets a birthday hug. So that just was spontaneous. So I don't want you to like leave the church and be like, oh, I didn't get a birthday hug. Everybody else got one. Just glory. Yep. So today I want to talk about walking by the Spirit, and I originally started thinking about this just in relationship to marriage, and Kathleen and I were talking about how many difficult marriages we know about, and it seems like that's just status quo, I guess, for marriages, and even marriages in the church, in the Christian family, this church, and previous churches I've been a part of, And part of that, for sure, is I usually only hear about people's marriages when they're not going well. And so that's kind of the norm. But it's just really hard to have a good, healthy marriage. And so this is, of course, something we've been thinking about because we've got Jaira and Lavender, who were up here singing, are getting married in May. And then Malia, one of our daughters, is getting married to Justin in Greeley, Colorado, in June. So we have a couple weddings coming up, so I've been thinking about this, and I remember Blaze, our oldest, before he got married, just talking to me about marriage and expectations and kind of feeling like, maybe like, yeah, you and Mom's marriage is really good, but almost like you're a little naive. You don't understand how hard it is, or you don't understand, like, just, it seems like most marriages don't work this way, and so I was trying to encourage him, you know, hey, Bud, you know, you're a Christian, you're following the Lord, you're following the Spirit, and Elizabeth is doing the same, and so it ought to be that God can kind of lead you guys into a good, healthy, rich relationship. And I had a lot of confidence that things were going to go really well for them, and so far it seems like they are. So that's really good, but just, I think it's easy to have that expectation of it's going to be really painful and really hard because that is so common in the church and in our world. And so for me, when I think about marriage, I really think the key piece of marriage advice is to walk in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit, to communicate in the Spirit, to be in the Spirit at home, to fight in the Spirit, just to always be under the authority of God. And so I want to talk about that. Obviously, it's not a marriage topic. It relates to all of our faith. I think it can really help in a marriage. I think it can help in friendships. It can help in different relationships, just your level of joy in life. It's helpful in lots and lots of areas. So don't tune out if you're like, well, I'm not married and I'm not interested in marriage. It's something that is helpful to every aspect of living and enjoying the Christian life. So let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would bless this time here, and God, that we would really be able to connect with you and hear from you, and pray that this wouldn't just be something that we walk out and it's like, oh, we enjoyed the message or we didn't enjoy the message, but that it would actually make a difference, that it would change our hearts, that we would understand something different, that we would make different choices in the way that we live as a result of things that we look at in your scripture here today. So we pray that just your Spirit would move powerfully in our hearts today and speak to us and change us. And so we just lift up this time to you, and we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about just letting the Spirit lead you, and I want to look at this passage. There's a lot in this passage. It's really meaty, and I just want to pull out the framework of it, just at its very bare bones, understand this passage. So Galatians 5:13, as you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. So if you think of the flesh is kind of your physical body, your thinking, yourself. Okay, so don't use your freedom to indulge yourself, your flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is summed up in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit. And there are different phrases used for that, living by the Spirit or walking by the Spirit. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the spirit what is contrary to the flesh. And we sense that battle inside us sometimes, right? Where it's like part of us wants to do the wrong thing, part of us wants to do the right thing. Those things are in battle. So they're in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the spirit, you're not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So just a couple things that I want to pull out of that passage really, really simply at a very, very basic level. First off, it's just you have a choice. You have a choice. So it started off talking about how we're called to be free. So we're called to be free. We have choices when we're free, right? We can do something or not do something. We're free to choose what we want. But it encourages us to choose wisely. We shouldn't choose the flesh, but we should choose the spirit. That would be a theme going on in that passage. So it says, don't indulge the flesh. Don't indulge the sinful nature. Don't indulge yourself. But instead, we should choose the spirit. So I was looking at this and looking for a meme for the PowerPoint background. I had a pretty cool one, but I was going to go with Walk This Way, with the old Aerosmith song, but yeah, only a few people would get that. So, but I did find this meme. I thought it was pretty good. Choose wisely. You could eat a donut hole, or you could eat a donut. And obviously, a donut. I mean, like, that's a no-brainer. But actually, it's kind of a profound thought when you think about it, because it's like, it depends what you want, right? What I want is the donut, the flavor, the frosting, the sugar. That's what I'm all about. So, like, this is such an easy choice. Some of you are more inclined to be healthy, and so you're like, well, the donut hole, or really, I'd prefer a carrot. And I have a hard time relating to that, but but, you know, depending on what's going on, you make certain choices. And I remember a guy in my pastor's prayer group back in Colorado, and he had just found out that he had some form of diabetes, and so he was going to have to control his diet and his sugar. And I don't even understand how all that works, but my impression was he was kind of like, hey, guys, so eat healthy, because if I had made these choices to eat healthy earlier, I wouldn't be in this spot now. And so now he's in a spot where he has to choose wisely, because it's going to be maybe his death if he doesn't. But before that, he wasn't in that spot, and he could just kind of do whatever he wanted. So when it comes to choosing our flesh or our spirit, that's this battle that we have. It's like we always have freedom, but sometimes we can get ourselves in a spot where we wish, oh, I wish I would have made the right choice much, much sooner. Something to think about, though, is just, so what is it we're choosing? We have this choice. What is it that we're choosing? And real simply, I might think of it as it's choosing who's going to tell us what to do. So we all have a way of thinking, right? And that way of thinking, we're prone to think is right. Okay, if I have a thought on something, I think I'm right on that thought, because it's my thought. So it just makes sense. Anything I think, I think I'm right. I might have a different level of confidence, like, oh, I think I'm right, but I'm not sure. I might be really confident on something, but I definitely have a thought, and I think I'm right in that thought. Now, God also has a will. He has a thought on how we should live, and he is right. And some of the time, it's easy to do what God wants, because what I'm thinking aligns pretty closely with what he's thinking, and so, yeah, we get along pretty well. Everything goes fine. But there are also times when God wants me to do something in a certain way that doesn't match my thinking, that doesn't match my flesh. And so in that time, will I let God lead me? And that's the catch. That's walking in the Spirit. Bill Bright put it this way. He said, to be filled with the Holy Spirit is to be controlled and empowered by the Holy Spirit. We cannot have two masters. Either Christ or self is on the throne or control center of our lives. In essence, the Christian life is simply the act of keeping Christ on the throne. Bill Bright was the founder of Campus Crusade for Christ, a Christian ministry, I guess, for college students. And he goes on and he says, in the same sermon, he says, Christ is on the throne of our lives when we walk in the control and power of the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit came for the express purpose of glorifying Christ in the believer's life. So when I think about that question of what are we choosing, that's what we're choosing. We're choosing, do I let Christ sit on the throne? And I'm going to use Christ and God and Holy Spirit kind of interchangeably. We could say, we could talk about having the Holy Spirit on the throne, same idea. But am I willing to let God be in that spot? Or do I insist that myself is on that throne? Do I insist on my flesh being in that place? And that's a tough battle for all of us. And I read this verse this week in my quiet times, Ephesians 5:15. This is in the Voice translation. The Voice translation tries to capture the voice of Scripture. At first, I was very suspicious of it. I think it's a pretty good translation. But if it adds words to capture the voice, it puts them in italics so that you know, like, okay, they add this part for clarity or to capture the flavor of what's being shared here. So it says, be very careful how you live. Be mindful of your steps. Don't run around like idiots, as do the rest of the world does. And I really like that. I thought that was pretty awesome. Part of it's just, it's kind of fun to say idiot in church, I guess. I don't know. I remember as a kid, like, you know, I grew up with the King James, and so they would have the donkey in the Bible, and they'd be, use that word for donkey. And I don't know, there's just something fun about saying things at church that are a little bit, my flesh likes that, I guess. But I guess what I thought was interesting in this passage is idiots isn't in italics. It's not one of the words that they added or changed. And I'm like, really? I don't remember that. And looked it up in the NIV, and it's basically unwise. Don't be unwise. Don't be an idiot. And I think that's kind of helpful to think about because it's saying, don't be an idiot and run your own life. Don't be unwise and run your own life. Be wise. And let God run your life. Sometimes just wording a little different helps it land in a new way. And like, oh, okay, yeah, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be that way. Let's keep reading. Instead, walk as the wise. Walk as the wise. Make the most of every living and breathing moment because these are evil times. So understand, be confident in God's will. He's on the throne. He's got a will, right? Be confident in God's will. And don't live thoughtlessly. Don't drink wine excessively. The drunken path is a reckless path, leads to nowhere. Instead, let God fill you with the Holy Spirit. So we see some of that same theme going on of we have this choice. He's saying choose one path over the other. He's saying give some thought to it. Don't be a fool. Be wise. Live by the Spirit. Don't live like an aimless drunk person. And so that's kind of the big picture of living by the Spirit and what that looks like. And as followers of Jesus Christ, I think we're like, okay, yeah, that's cool. I mean, there's nothing groundbreaking in that, right? That all makes sense. So I'm really thinking a lot about this next point, that we give God control, but we take it back really easily. We kind of tire of letting God run our lives, and so it's easy to just get in the spot where it's like, okay, God, you know, you can take a break. So this is the key here. Don't take flesh breaks, and don't send Christ off the throne on a flesh break. So easy to do. So I've talked to you guys about this before, but I've battled my weight some over the years. I've talked about this. I haven't shown you a chart. This is a pretty awesome chart. This is my weight loss. And if you look over here on the left, I had a race. So I like to run up North Franklin Mountain and race up it. I don't know why. I think I just picked a race that nobody else wants to do. And so there's less competition. So I had a race, so I lost some weight for the race. And then you can see right after the race, nom, 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 eating as much as I can, right? And then I get to a point where it's like, okay, I need to get serious because I have a doctor's appointment coming up. And so I'm going to get my cholesterol checked. He's going to put me on meds. And so I got to get serious. And so I starve for whatever that is, about 2 months. And then I had another race, so that was good. I kind of stayed low. And then I had another doctor's appointment, so I kind of stayed low. And then I didn't have anything for a while. No. I eat as much as I can. You could just, man, it's right on the graph. So then I ate a bunch, but then I had the doctor again. This time I didn't take it quite seriously because I did so well on my last cholesterol test. So I lost some here, just enough that he was still happy with me. It's like, yes, okay, so now I know how much I can get away with. And then I had a race coming up over here. And then I was really losing. I was really serious. I was going to do awesome in the race, and then stuff happened. So you can tell about when that hits. Like, okay, there's Thanksgiving, and then Christmas, and then I got injured, and I just lost heart. I'm just like, who cares? You know, I can just run the race and get the T-shirt, and I'll be fine. So this is our flesh. And honestly, I really don't care that much about diet stuff. It's not like, oh, you're more godly if you're really healthy and you're less godly if you're not. It just doesn't mean that much to me. I just kind of want to stick around a little bit longer would be the main idea. And then big picture, you look at the whole thing, it's going up and down, but it's way better than it would have been 6 years ago. And so even though it's going up and down, I'm still probably 30, 40 pounds less than I was then. So big picture, it's like, I'm still doing okay. Even my doctor would probably be like, okay, good enough. That'll work. Still, you look at it, it's like, that's not right, though, right? Like especially, I don't know, some of these are a little crazy. Or just like, she goes crazy. And the reality is when I'm gaining a lot, I don't weigh as much. And so those probably aren't even totally accurate. It probably goes up even faster and even to a higher spot. So I know we have some nurses. I don't know if we have any doctors. I don't know if we have any dietitians or fitness gurus. But if you look at that and you just think, well, what should he do? Like, what's wrong with this picture? It's pretty obvious, right? I mean, this is not rocket science. You just think, okay, Steve, maybe instead of eating 6 cookies after the race, you could eat 1 or 2 cookies. And that's about what it comes down to. You know, we would all recognize, well, just try to level that off. Just be a little more reasonable all the time. And that would be a healthier spot to be. Okay, so when it comes to the flesh and the spirit, we can have the same issue. And what can happen is we kind of tire of doing the right thing. And so we just, nom, 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 we can just flesh out. And then we get into a spot where we have to do the right thing again. And then we get serious about doing the right thing. And then we flesh out again. And we just go back and forth. And it would be much healthier if we could stay at a level spot. And we kind of think like I think of, I'm still being real fleshy. But overall, I'm doing better than a lot of people. And so we excuse our behavior. And then that affects a lot of things. So imagine being in the military or maybe the border patrol. If there were times when they just said, we're tired. Let's just take a break. And so you can imagine the border patrol, if they said, hey, let's take this weekend off. Or we've been working really hard. Let's take the summer off. And let's just rest up. We'll get some more training. And then we'll go back at it wholeheartedly. You realize it's like, well, that's not a good strategy, right? It's not a good battle plan. Because as soon as you let down your guard, then everybody comes running in. And then you're serious for a while, it's like, it's a 3-day weekend coming up. Let's, you just can't do that. You have to keep your guard up. And it's so easy for us in our lives to not be careful in that. Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on, I think of like you get dressed, you put on clothes in relationship to who you are, how you're going to act. In this case, I might even think of putting on Jesus as being similar to putting Jesus on the throne. I don't think that's directly what it's saying, but conceptually, it probably carries a similar idea. Put Jesus on the throne. Don't make any provision to let him off the throne. To put myself back in that spot. There are a couple ways I think we can do that. One would be kind of a big picture thing, and it's not really what I'm talking about today, where you take an area of your life and you say, with whatever, your your finances or your sex life or something. You take an area and say, hey, God, you can be on the throne of my life, but not in this area. And for sure, we can do that at times. But I'm thinking more like with marriage and relationships and things, more of like a daily level where we're tired at the end of the day. We went into work and we worked really hard and we did our thing. We put on our good clothes, we put on our smile, and we worked with people and we were friendly and we just did a great job and everybody loved us and everybody's really proud of how we did. And then we come home and we're like, I'm done doing that. Well, one's kind of similar to walking in the Spirit. It's like we are choosing to act right and do right while we're at work. And then we come home, and now we're choosing to flesh out. Now we're choosing to just do whatever we want, almost because like we've earned it, or we need a break. So I don't feel like we're consciously saying, okay, I'm home now, and I'm not going to follow Jesus. It's not like that. It's more of a, I'm home, and now I'm going to do my own thing. Now I'm going to rest. Now I'm going to take it easy. So if you think of home is the place where you can be yourself, right? Home is the place where you can be yourself. And that's really dangerous thinking. Because what is yourself? Yourself is your flesh. Right? Home is the place I can be in the flesh. I can do whatever I want. Well, when we have that kind of thinking, that destroys our marriages. That destroys our family. It destroys our kids. It's just really, really dangerous. Let me give you a few examples on this. Specifically related to work, I knew a guy who was doing great at work. He was very successful. And he would come home and he would just, he was just depressed. And he would sit on the couch and he'd play video games and he would watch TV, and he wouldn't talk to his wife, and wouldn't talk to his kids, and he just had a really hard time, and he was being diagnosed as being clinically depressed. And for sure, that can be an issue, but I don't think that was his issue, because he wasn't that way at all at work. And I just don't think that's how brain chemistry works. Didn't seem like he was clinically depressed. It seemed like he was lazy. Seemed like he got home and he just yielded to his flesh and was like, I'm not going to do the right thing. At work, for some reason, he's motivated by something, by making his boss proud or by earning money or by moving up the company ladder. You know, something there captured his heart and he could make himself do the right thing. But when he got home, he quit making himself do the right thing. So he was a better worker than he was a husband. You can imagine at church, church is a place where we kind of put on our best, right? And to some degree, we kind of put on decent clothes and stuff, and we come, we put on our smiles, and we act a certain way. Imagine a parent sitting with their kid, and their kid knocks over their water bottle. And it's right during a really sober time in the service, prayer or something, and it's a mellow one, and it's clanky, and clang, 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 clang. And the parent turns to the kid, what are you thinking? Be quiet. We're trying to pray here. You don't do that at church, right? You do that at home. Church is not the place for that. And so we can be better churchgoers than we are parents, just like we can be better workers than we are spouses. Imagine going to the library and you are looking for a book, you're researching something or whatever, and I don't even know if people go to the library anymore, but you're there for some reason. And you're walking through the library, and you know, there's all those tall shelves and stuff, and so it's kind of hard to see, and you kind of walk around a corner, and somebody's walking, and they're looking at a book, and they almost bump into you. What do? Punch them. Yeah. No. I hope you were saying you collide, but... Well, you probably kind of step back and go, oh, excuse me. And like, oh, sorry, I didn't see you. And you kind of go on your own way, right? You don't, you fool! What are you doing? Watch where you're going! And you give them the double bird, and then you march out of there, right? You don't do that. You don't do that in the library. You do that when you're driving. Okay, but that's important to understand that, right? So we do have self-control. And there are certain places where we've set a standard of, oh, in this place, I'm going to act like this. Oh, it's a library. I need to be kind of quiet and polite. In the car, I'm by myself. I can do whatever I want. It's my flesh. At home, I can just sit on the couch. I can just be lazy all day long because I'm feeding my flesh. But at work, oh, no, I have to look good, and I have to put in my hours. And we kind of separate these compartments of our life, places that we can be in the flesh and places where we need to control our flesh more. So it's not just that we can't control our flesh. We can. But there's a perception that we have that makes that harder in certain places. Very few times have I met someone who just seemed kind of disconnected from appropriate behavior. You know, like when there's somebody at church and they're like cussing up a storm. It's like, oh yeah, that just seems kind of odd, right? And so you might look at somebody like that and you say, okay, they might have a clinical problem, or they might have some kind of mental struggle or something, or they're demon-possessed, or, you know, you look at it, it's like, something's off here, because that's not normal. For almost all of us, we can control our flesh through God's help. Certainly, as Christians, we can control our flesh through the power and the working of the Holy Spirit. But a lot of it's just understanding that and believing that we can walk in the Spirit instead of in the flesh. In Proverbs 25:28, like a city whose walls are broken down is a man who lacks self-control. You know, if someone truly has no self-control, there's very little hope for them. And self-control, it's like having the control to say, I'm going to follow what God wants. I'm going to follow the Spirit instead of following myself, instead of following my flesh. And then that puts us in a healthy spot in marriage or whatever we're in. So we have the ability to control, but in some environments like the home, it's easy to think that we don't, because we've booted Jesus and we've given ourselves the right to reign. I'm going to control what we do and what we don't do. And last thought here is, so we need to listen to the Spirit inside of us. Romans 8:9 says, you are not controlled by your sinful nature or your flesh. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And so here's this idea. If you're a Christian, you have God's Spirit inside of you. And so the norm is to follow the Spirit, not to let our flesh reign. That's why in the previous passage, when it says, hey, you know, people who live this way aren't going to go to heaven. It's not that, oh, you have to have all these behaviors or you're in big trouble. It's not that you have to do these things to earn your salvation. It's just saying, hey, you know, a picture of what it looks like to be a Christian would be a picture of you're living by the Spirit. That should be the norm. You're not living by the flesh. And so we have the Spirit inside of us, so we can listen to the Spirit. We can follow the Spirit as He leads us. Now, I was thinking as we read through that list of fleshly things, you know, it talks about sexual immorality and orgies and debauchery and all that stuff. And it's really easy in my mind to kind of, each one kind of, okay, that's not me. Okay, that's not me either. Okay, good, good. Well, okay, this one, I'm not too sure about this. And we can kind of try to peg ourselves. It's like, okay, am I on this list or am I not? But it says the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And so if we just had a blank on our sheet, you know, what are my sinful behaviors? What is living according to the sinful nature for me? Well, it's obvious, right? I don't have to work real hard. It's like, oh, yeah, this struggle and this struggle and this struggle. And it's like, I don't need to be shown a verse on those. I just know. The Spirit inside me convicts me. And so, in some ways, it's not really rocket science, but it's yielding to the Spirit. Like, okay, the Spirit's leading me. I have to follow Him. And if I don't, I'm being a fool. And it brings damage to my life. I just want to share one more quick thought here as I'm trying to read through the Bible this year. And I don't do it every year, just every 5 or something. I was reading in Deuteronomy 11:10, the land where you're going to live in when you cross the Jordan isn't like the land of Egypt where you came from. When you sowed seeds there, you could water all your land as if it were nothing more than a small vegetable garden, transporting the water yourself. So they're irrigating this little garden. Verse 11 says, but in the land where you're going to live, the hills and valleys drink water right out of the sky. He takes care of this land. He's always looking after it all throughout the year. And I just love that picture of before you had to irrigate, you had to work for your water, and now it's just like falling from heaven, literally. And kind of what a beautiful thing. And so anyway, I was thinking about that just in relationship to our name, the Rio, and the thing I shared at the beginning of the message last week out of Ezekiel 47, where Ezekiel has this vision of being connected, this water coming out of the temple and growing and bringing life wherever it goes. And kind of the key thing is that we're connected to the temple because that's the place where God lives. And what's really cool is now in the New Testament, as Christians, the place where God lives is inside us. Holy Spirit's inside us. And so it's not this magical, mysterious, okay, well, how do I connect with him? It's like, man, he's right there. I just need to listen and be sensitive as he leads me. So in marriage, if I don't live by my flesh, but I really try to follow the Spirit in our discussions, in our fights, in serving in the family, in the way that I work with the kids, you know, if I do that, that really brings life. And as we're both doing that, it brings a ton of life to our relationship. We have a rich, beautiful relationship, which is our experience. It's been amazing. But when we don't do that, it brings destruction and things are hard and challenging. And so I just wanted to share that with you guys. Nothing terribly new there, but just this idea of letting Christ be on the throne 24/7. Instead of like my diet, just, okay, you can be on, okay, you're off, you're on, you're off. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you just for how you're at work in our lives, and I thank you that you do give us life. And God, it's just so easy for me to be in the flesh and to take a break, not just a break of needed rest, which I think would very much align with being in the Spirit, but to take a break of just yielding to you. And so, God, I pray for myself and for each of us, you would help us to just have a mindset of, I'm just going to be committed to yielding to you as you lead me, whatever that looks like. So we thank you for this time here. I pray you'd help us to live out the things we've been looking at. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.